Hello,
Hey,
can you
can
hear
you
me?
hear me?
Can you hear?
Yeah.
I can hear you. Is it better now?
Yeah, no, I've always heard you
Okay.
great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you much better right now. I girl, hotel Wi-Fi is just not it. When I tell you
It's not
hotel,
quite.
you know how they tell you, ooh, high speed internet at our
Yeah,
hotel.
lies.
It's always a lie. It's always a
Always.
lie. Oh my God.
Always.
Oh my
For all
God.
that
We're
money
doing
that you
the after show.
pay.
I miss the after show, Candace. I missed it last week, and I miss being with you on the mic.
Me
But
too.
I heard it, and you held it down. And I'm
Hard.
back. I'm
Hot ass
here.
mess.
No, I loved it. I
Hot
love
mess.
listening to you. I've told you since day one. I love listening to you, and that was
Hot
no
mess.
exception. But we are here at the after show for
Yes.
episode 8, Candace. Episode 8.
No, episode nine.
Yes. No, episode. Oh, episode. Oh my God.
Episode
Yeah,
nine,
episode
yes, we're
9.
almost done.
This is
Can't believe it.
crazy. Episode 9. Oh my God. It didn't even hit me. It didn't even hit me yet. Okay. Are you ready to get this started?
Unfortunately and sadly, yes.
No, that's bullshit. I know you're excited.
No, I am. I
I'm
just don't
ready
want it
to.
to end.
I know. I'm ready to get this started too. And just like that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Revirginized After Show, where we bring you all the bonus content on the latest
Yeah.
episode of HBO Max's And Just Like That, another Sex in the City story. And today we are here bringing you our bonus take
Yep.
on the ninth episode of the first season of this grandiose roller coaster of a series. We are almost done. We're almost at the finale, but we are here. And it's been such an exciting journey, and we're not closing it yet, but it's so surreal that we're almost there. Candace, tell me how you feel about it being so close to it.
I mean, honestly, I'm not ready. I am not ready at all. I've often thought about like what that could mean, right? And I'm just not ready to finish this. I love this show, no, not and just like that so much, but I love this series. I love these, right? Because you gotta specify. I
Yeah.
love these girls. I love these series. I grew up with these characters. I am not ready to let them go. And even though I sometimes feel like, all right, what is Unjust Like That doing? Like, this is for shit. I am still hoping that there's a season two. And it's bittersweet. It's like bittersweet.
Yeah, and we said this before. I think we said it at the previous after show. You have the streaming platform, and regardless of what happens with this series, give it another season, no matter what. Just you have a platform for it to come back. Let it come back. The fans are
Oh, they
there. The
have
fans will
to.
be watching regardless. Just take the lessons, and this is something that I'll tell the writers. Take the lessons you learned from season one and bring them to season two. That's all you got to do.
Yes.
We're here. We're watching. No one's stopping us. Just learn from what happened in this season and bring us a better season next time. That's all.
You want to know something really sad? The
Ooh.
writer's room, right? That little
Oh no,
podcast
I didn't even want to hear
that
that.
they have. No, what I think is like really, really sad is that they're also recapping their own episodes that they wrote, and they still find
Yes.
nothing wrong, right? Like, it's one thing to write it. And then, like, you get at the table read, and I guess you're reading it. Okay, fine. It's another to see it on screen. And then it's another to, like, recap it and still think, yes, this was good. This was gold.
I think they're really disconnected from our reality. Like, and I said this
Has to
before, and
be.
I will never take it back. I think they're not real fans of the shows. Yeah, I know the
No.
creators in that room. I know there's previous writers in that room, but I think they are not authentic fans of the show. I've said this before. For them to be able to watch these episodes and react the way they do on the Writers' Room podcast, it is not real. It is not genuine. I
No,
love the way our
completely.
fans tweet us. Our fans love our recaps much, much better than the creators' recaps.
Oh,
So,
yeah,
you know
for
what?
sure. For sure. I mean, we're international.
Yes, and I'm here for them. I love everybody that listens to us. We really appreciate you all. So fuck the Writers Room podcast. Come here after every episode. We got you. We will bring you the real, real
That's
recap.
it. And we're real super fans. So
absolutely. And after watching episode 9, just as we do with every after show, we have some humongous questions that we have to answer. And that first question is, Candace, will the Wallaces be having a child?
I am so glad you said this because everyone heard me say it last week. And I said, I said I'm going to stand by that. You heard me. I said, I'm going to stand by this comment. Unpopular opinion, don't kill me on Reddit. She does not want kids. I think, and I gave her a props, right? You know, to any woman, right, who's going through IVF. And, you know, IVF is not the only one. There are so many invasive treatments, like fertility treatments, that really, they're really painful. They're really expensive. Right? They take a toll on your body mentally, physically. And so I give her nothing but respect for putting her body through that to bring a person in this world. However, I think she's tired, but I think it went beyond that. It's like I said last week, I think she's content with her life where it's at. I think she's fulfilled. I don't necessarily think she sees a baby in here. And we saw that. We saw that tonight. We did. We did.
Yes.
And my
I feel like you're very much hitting the nail on the head with it. I didn't see it before this. I honestly didn't see it. I saw it more as she was exhausted with the process of attempting to arrive at being pregnant. But I didn't really see her not wanting to have kids until this episode. This episode made it very clear that she's just over it. I think she was more making the attempt to give him the children that he wants and make him the father that he wanted to be. But I don't see it in her heart to where she wants to carry this child. She wants to be and I know I'm not going to go as far as to say that she doesn't want to be a mother. I think it's more that she does not want to be pregnant. And this is what my thought process goes, because I see an opportunity for them to be the parents that adopt sometime in the near future, or bring the conversation of adopting as an alternative to, if I am not able to become pregnant, how about we consider these other options? What do you think?
And you know, honestly, I'm going to disagree just a little bit, because I thought about that too, right? Initially, I'm like, there's surrogacy, right? I mean, she's a lawyer, you know, like there's surrogacy, there's adoption, like you just said. However, I think it's going a little bit deeper for her. She said something that's, you know, Jay, I overthink everything. She said something that, she said, okay, like this 15, she said, look at us. We've been all about us, our entire relationship, right? Ooh. She almost kind of like scoffed at the idea when he was like referring Herbert and his children to what they wanted. And then she said, you can't just throw away 15 years, right? Because of that, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing so much, but that was her thing, like throwing away 15 years. Look at us. We've been so selfish. We're just us. It seemed very much like we're enough, right? You can't possibly tell me that in 15 years, we're no longer enough. We've always been just enough, right? We have our careers. We have this. We've always been just enough. And I think that's where she is. She's just enough, but he's not. And I think that no matter which way you spin it, it's something about bringing another being into the picture that I don't think she necessarily wants to deal with, no matter which way she gets it, adoption, surrogacy, or naturally.
That is a take. So with all that, let me ask you, where do you see them headed then?
Divorce. I'm telling you,
Did you just divorce?
I did. I mean, you know, at this show, every episode is like 3-4 months, right? So like the next episode is probably going to be a whole year down the line. But think so, because he made it very clear tonight where he stands. And it comes a point where you don't want to have to compromise certain things. You love your spouse, you love your partner. But it's that real big, like there's certain things people can't compromise. And I think she's very adamant about where she is. And unless she's, they're both strong-willed. Unless she's changing her mind from here to the next episode, I don't see this working for them.
Wow. Wow.
I don't. Divorce. He's not going to want to feel like he has to give it up. And she's not going to feel like she needs to give up.
I feel like we've been getting so many of the D words in this season. We've gotten death. We've gotten divorce. It's just
we've gotten death and divorce. Steve is physically deaf, right? Like,
This is definitely a spin on it. I feel like we've mourned. We've tried to move on. We've definitely felt a lot of loss throughout the season. And I remember when we talked about when we had our second episode, when we recapped the second episode of the season, and we said, I really hope this season doesn't give us more loss. And I feel like it just piled up on top of more and more and more. And I feel like the more it went on, as much as we wanted to see it as hopeful, every little storyline, it just kept giving us loss. And from Big to Samantha to Steve to Stanford, it just became too much to handle at some point. And I feel like we're in episode 9 and we're talking about, are they able to bring us back? Are they able to give us hope with just one episode left? I think that's the question.
I mean, I think all things are possible with a show like this, because literally months pass. Like, literally within one episode, right? That's how much they're rushing it. So I wouldn't be surprised if next episode is a, 4 or 5 months, maybe a year tops down the line. Where are they now?
Oh, no, Jay. Right? Like, where are they now?
I mean, but then again, let's be for real. That's all they give us. They just give us unrealistic shit every single week.
That is true. That is very true. No, I absolutely agree with you. I feel like in order to fill the spaces that they couldn't write content into, they couldn't write a storyline into, and because they had to rewrite so much at the end of it, I just feel like they are rushing this so that we get time gaps instead of just giving us a steady storyline. Give us day after day after day. I feel like we had good writing in the original Sex and the City. We had a timeline that we could follow. And this show makes it very hard for us to do that. I feel like if we would have been able to hold to something steady episode after episode, we would be feeling so much differently. But say every episode, and like I say every after show, we're here for the story, regardless of how we feel about the episodes, about the writing, about the production. We love the characters. We love the story. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they close it out. Because if I'm going to be honest, seeing this episode, the second episode to the last, it wasn't a common episode. It wasn't a common pre-finale episode. Usually at an episode before the finale, we get some sort of like landslide cliffhanger. And it just wasn't there. Even though we did get to have that emotion, those emotional takes, I felt like it was missing a lot in order to get to a finale. But like, I feel like we're just gonna have to watch that episode 10 and see how they decide.
I'm hoping it's an hour long, because I was literally like, wait a minute, you guys started us strong at 45 minutes, or I think one was even like 48. Then we went back to 38. Mm-hmm. Now we're at what, 32, 33? Like, it's 2022, and you guys have literally destroyed our entire lives with these awful ass storylines. I'm talking about like, you just yanked what I thought Sex and the City was, okay? And you're only going to give it to me in 30 minutes. I'm sorry. Something's got to go. That finale needs to be an hour long. Listen, I say this every time. But I am seriously going to write MPK. I'm like, bro, you got to do something. Like, seriously. Do a whole do-over. Like, not for nothing. This whole season should not even count. It shouldn't. If you guys can rewrite episodes and rewrite scenes in December while the show is out, you can redo a whole season in a few months. I'm just saying.
Yes. And it's going to be, yes, absolutely, I'm with you on there. Also, we do have to understand that the times that we're watching this new series, this new story of a take on a story that we've already known, is a very different time. And we have to understand that they do have to protect so much with our generations and the generations after and before us being the ones watching this. These conversations weren't happening before. These conversations weren't happening when the original show was going on. So I think that they just mold themselves to something different.
They literally said
what they do.
They said, hey, have you ever written about people who, let's say, were queer or non-binary? Yeah, you have? Okay, great. We're going to pull you to write the show. Hey, have you ever written anything about people of color? Right? You've written about being woke and being racist. Hey, we're going to pay for the show. No one ever saw Sex and the City a day in their life. Oh, yeah, I've seen that show. You know, like the fans who are like, oh, my God, Carrie Bradshaw, Cosmopolitan. But they can't tell you anything that's ever happened. They just know that she drinks Cosmos and she fell in love with Big. They were those kind of fans. Couldn't tell you anything. Like, they couldn't tell you wine from water. And they said, but you have experience writing about Black people. You have experience writing about people who are non-binary, queer. You have experience writing about people who need to be woke. Let's put you all together in a room and let's give them a show. Oh, do you have experience writing about people who need a hip replacement that should follow up with surgery? Yes, you do, because that's what they said in the writing room. Wasn't that what they said in the writing room? Like, oh, yeah, I knew that when she had that hip issue, she was going to have surgery. I'm sorry, that's the best you could do? You didn't say
no,
that.
But let me tell you, the thing is, every episode in that writer's room, they explain how, oh, I decided to write this on the episode because I saw the last episode. And I'm like, so you're watching the last episode and then deciding what's going on in this episode? Where is this green sheet? Where is the core of the story? And I feel like that's what has been missing for the entire season, where we don't have a core storyline and we have these small little stories that go here and there, and we kind of lose them in an episode, get them in another, and we just kind of have to wait to see what happens. But Candace, with all of that, I do have another big question. And this question is really, really big. I want to know. Is Steve really waiting on Miranda?
He is. Let me tell you guys my take. And remember, you heard it here first, right?
Ooh.
Let me give you my take.
I'm listening. I
think this was extremely symbolic. When Steve is holding on to that ring, because it really symbolizes a connection, right? When he said, mm-hmm. this doesn't come off, to me, that means when she's done on this midlife crisis, when she's done on this roller coaster, when she's done with this lust with Che, right? I'm still going to be here when she's ready. When she's realized everything that's happened, everything she's done. And you know, the beauty about Steve is it's not one of those things like, oh, mother effer, you better remember me when, you know, the person you cheated on me with decides to cheat on you and you had a good woman. No, Steve really means this from his heart. When you realize and you're done exploring, right? I'm always going to be here. When you're ready for me, you know where to find me. Nothing has changed, right? I'm the same old Steve, and I'm still going to love you for who you are. And that's what made me, and yes, I did hear, that's what made me even more sad for Steve, because that's what he meant. He literally meant till death do us part. And I'm keeping this ring on there because I'm not going to see anybody else. There is
no one else.
There's only you when you're ready to come back home. Literally.
Candace, that is a heavy take on this. I didn't see it like that at all. And you just opened my eyes to a completely different future for this series. And when we asked that question, I was more interested in seeing what it is that they were trying to mold from the show. Because, like I said, they've been adding so many instances and so many millennial concepts into the show just for the sake of throwing them in there and for the sake of maybe attracting a new audience. That I felt like the way that I looked at that scene when Steve said to Carrie, it's never coming off. I saw it as an opportunity for the show, for the production, to bring in the topic of polyamory. And the way that to do this for me was, if Steve is really not deciding to move on from Miranda, he might consider the opportunity to respect or have an understanding better, because he has been respecting her from day one, but having an understanding of what Miranda's curiosity and exploration with her sexuality is when it comes to Shay, and being able to kind of navigate a marriage with her while she is experimenting that relationship with Shay, that sexual curiosity and this new attraction that she had. Because as we've known Miranda throughout the years, she's never been attracted to a woman. Yes, we've had the conversation of her possibly being a lesbian character on the show, and that was very much debunked. We saw the episode, the softball episode, where, yes, she clearly knew she wasn't attracted to women. And that now that we get this spin on how she feels and how her experience has changed when it comes to her sexuality, we just kind of have to take it. But my mind went more as to, if Steve is not moving on from her, but Miranda has very much decided that she wants to pursue a future with Shay, can this be a more of a chance for the production to incorporate a marriage that invites a third person in? And as hard as I see it happening, because I don't necessarily see Shay accepting Miranda and Steve as a couple and embracing them, more of allowing for Miranda to carry on her marriage and work on her marriage while she is embracing a relationship with her. So I love hearing your take. In my mind went somewhere completely different, but I don't know how they're going to tie this up. Now, my question to you on this is, do you think they're going to be able to close this out on the finale?
No. Well, unless they're doing like flash forward, which I do tend to think that might happen.
Honestly, I'm 80% sure that they're going to do like a huge flash forward.
You need to. I know you can't. But after this half the show, we need to talk. We need to talk. I need to know whatever it is that you may or may not know. But unless you're doing like a flash forward, give us some insight. There's no way for them to close this off. Like, this is something that's definitely going to drag onto season two. And to be quite honest with you, I want it to drag into season two, because they haven't been giving us much storyline with anything. Mm-hmm. It's all like, hey, yeah, I woke up one day and, you know, I like women. Okay, that's great that you like women, but where's the backstory, right? Yes. Yeah, I woke up one day and this happened. So if I do need this to drag on, I don't think they're going to be able to close it out unless they do something drastic. Even if they do something drastic, I have zero hope that they would effectively pull it off.
That's the question. It don't matter how they decide to close this off in the finale. Are they gonna be effective in it? I feel like that's been the question from day one, because after watching the first three episodes, I remember how you and I kept asking the question, are they gonna grab us back? Are they gonna get our interest back? Yes. Are they gonna bring us back to the core of what Sex and the City is? And I feel like episode after episode, the answer has been no. But because we're imprisoned in the Sex and the City jail, we're just not going to stop watching. We're gonna continue to comment. We're gonna continue to talk about it. And that's what this is about. So I love hearing your take on Steve, because it's so out there for me. I feel like as a queer person, my mind kind of incorporated what my normality is, which is very different than your normality, understandably. I feel like because it's so common in the queer community for us to be able to embrace non-monogamous formats of a relationship, I think my mind just kind of formatted that, hey, Steve might be looking to embrace Miranda regardless of what she is coming out of this experience like. So hearing you say, I feel like he's just waiting for her to have this face and come back to him, is very, very interesting. And I really, really like that. I really enjoy that.
Here's hoping. Let's see what happens. Because I think he's always going to embrace Miranda, but he's not going to embrace the relationship. He's going to accept it, because he has zero choice.
Absolutely.
Right?
And even seeing him show up to that charity event and supporting her, to me was like, Steve is a real one. Cause
no,
Shay wasn't
is.
Even there. Shay wasn't even anywhere near this. So the fact that her feelings lean towards somebody who, yes, but the fact that her feelings lean towards somebody who is not embracing her in that way, I don't know. I'm more like, I can see Shay gone. Like, I don't mind if she was gone.
Oh, I
you know what
see
I mean?
Her gone. That,
yeah.
And I do want to quickly say, look at the games. Like, Miranda, you are 55, 56.
Say
why
that.
Why are you, I'm going to say it again, 55, 56.
Yes.
So why on earth are you denying a call? Because, I'm just going to back up a little bit. I'm just going to give a little space. I'm not going to pick up. How old are we? We are not in
high
school anymore.
Fuck that. Fuck that.
Like, hello, you either pick up or you don't.
And absolutely. And you know what the crazy thing is? Us 30s and 40-year-olds, we don't do that. So for them to force up on us again these millennial concepts that they try to sprinkle on the show, it's just not it. I feel like I kind of detest that I'm doing this, but I feel like when we were watching the Golden Girls not once the Golden Girls not once try to give us a 20-year-old's take through the eyes of a 50-something-year-old. Never. The Golden Girls very much gave us, we are this age, and this is how we act at this age. Meanwhile, the reason that it's become so non-enjoyable to watch and just like that is because they are giving us these 50-something-year-old women, but in a world that's so different than what we got them to know them last as, that they're just trying to make them act like the young generation today. And the problem with this is we already know how the young generation acts. We don't need to see that from the characters that we know and have grown up from it. We want to see how the 50-something-year-olds are navigating this new times. We want to see how Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte are navigating 2022 at their age, because we don't get to see that often on shows. We have the 20-something-year-old main character embracing life and becoming rich out of the blue. How about you give us something more realistic and bring it back to the core of the story?
Correct. How about you do what Biden did the other day and you curse somebody out because you're 100 and you can get away with all of those things, right? Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see the zero Fs given. I'm going to say what
there
I'm going to say.
There you
55.
Go.
That's it. That's what happens when
I'm absolutely.
55.
Absolutely. I am with you on that. Hey, and I support it, girl. I support it. And our third big question of the night. Oh, my God, Candace. Our third enormous question of the night is, after going through everything that they have gone through, since we've been watching episode one of this season, should Carrie be moving on at this point in time?
So, here's what I say. Since we've already gone through 3 years in a course of 9 episodes, right?
Yes.
That's what it feels like, at least. I don't think that she needs to let go of Big, because you never let go. But I do think that it'll be nice to see her getting back into a groove of what normalcy looks like. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, for example, I'm really excited that she decided, hey, are you ready for strike 3? Because I think there's a part of her that needed to accept, you know what? Big is not here. I'm never going to get him back. He's always going to be here in my heart. And I don't need to replace him, right? And I never am. But it's okay if I do go outside and enjoy myself and get back into the groove of something that just feels nice. Doesn't have to be dating. Doesn't have to be sex. But why not just go out and meet with somebody for a cup of coffee and see where it might go? Maybe I'll just have fun. Maybe there'll be a friend, right? So it's like when she put her ring away, because I feel like her and Steve are doing the same thing, like that ring symbolizes the same thing.
Yes,
they are holding on to a connection, right? Like, they both don't want to let go this idea of something.
Absolutely. So, okay.
As they shouldn't, right? As they shouldn't. However, they are both still going through a tremendous loss. The only thing is, with her loss, she's never going to get Big back. She doesn't need to date, but Carrie, in your face, right? Like, what's going to help you feel a little bit better? So I don't know if I'm necessarily ready to see her full out dating, having sex and whatnot, but I think I'm ready to see her. I think I'm ready to see her do strike three. I am.
And you know what? This is such a different Candace than we got on episode three. I remember Candace on episode three. Why? What did I say? You said, I'm so ready to see her dating again. And this is such a different take. I think after this whole journey, you just kind of switched it over. And I love it. No, I love it. I mean, because her husband died. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. And my take on it is, I, as someone who's never lost a husband or the love of my life to death, I will never understand how it feels like to kind of have to carry an understanding that this person is never going to come back, and you can never put in work to have them back, regardless of where you're at in life. Because I see it differently than when you get a divorce from someone, because regardless of how you feel about the relationship or how you feel about the person is somewhere in the world. And if your feelings still stand for that person, there will always be that hope that you can put in the work, that it might sometime happen, that you will see them again. When it comes to death, it is such a final chapter that carrying it over to a relationship, I will never have an understanding, and God forbid, because I hope it never happens, to where a person is permanently gone, and now my mind has to adapt to the fact that no matter how much work, no matter how much effort I put in, that person is just never coming back to my life. So I absolutely agree with you on this. And the parallels of seeing Carrie trying to carry that attachment to Mr. Big. In this specifically in this episode, while Steve is entirely and fully decided that he is going to remain attached to the woman that he's chosen to marry, it is such a beautiful parallel, because they are such opposite ends of the spectrum, yet their storylines are so not intertwined, but they are so they collide with each other when it comes to emotions. Mm-hmm. Because I remember last episode when I, for the first time ever, said, this Carrie is empathetic. She is very much interested and involved in other people's feelings. And we got the same Carrie in this episode.
Yes, we did. Seeing
Carrie approach Steve with the care and love that she did made me feel some type of way proud of her, because this is not the Carrie that we've gotten throughout the years, but this is much the Carrie that we've gotten to see graduate from that into the grown-up Carrie that she is today. And I feel like what she gave to Steve is priceless. What she gave to Steve was an understanding. It was a care that he wasn't getting from anywhere else. Because for Steve to decide to have shown up to the woman's event to support her, a woman that has just told him that she just wants a divorce because she had fallen in love with someone else, that says a lot about Steve as a person. And for Carrie, the best friend of that woman, to be the one to say, I'm extending you my understanding, I'm extending you my sympathy, it says so much. And I love this dynamic, and I want to see more of it.
Yeah, it does. And it's like, it really made me tear, because it was so selfless. And, you know, she wasn't being a bad friend or anything, but she said, Steve, what about you? Right? Don't you want to find someone? Don't you want to be happy? Like, I love my best friend, but she's out. You know what I'm saying? But you're such a great guy. And I felt that when she said it. By the way, that was some beautiful acting between Steven and
Sarah. Oh, yes.
And that was very beautiful. Like, you can feel that through the screen. And, you know, I think what makes them so parallel is they are both dealing with a loss. They are both dealing with the loss. It just presents itself in a different way. We're back to the D's, right? Here's divorce. Yeah. Here's death. And sometimes what brings two people really close together and in a bonding is when they're going through a grieving stage. And I felt like if that wasn't one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen this entire season that didn't involve the main characters, the girls, that was it right there. And so, that scene gave me a little bit of more hope for maybe what's to come. And also, I do want to point out that There was something that I noticed very interesting with Carrie. Notice how when she put Big's ring on, right, she wasn't fully able to move on. She wasn't going to let, like I said, she doesn't have to let him go, but she wasn't ready to let go. As soon as she put on his ring, she canceled the entire date, right?
Yes.
When she took that ring off and put it back, she immediately said, are we ready for strike three? So it's very symbolic. Like that ring, and I go back to that ring being a symbol, is literally, do I stay in this place and try to conjure you up even though I'm never going to get you back? Or do I hold you forever in my heart and try to move on to something that's not right?
Candace, right? You just gave me chills. I didn't even see it that way because when
you overanalyze everything, you see it.
When she took off her ring and stored it away and very much made the decision to kind of wear his ring, I think she was trying to more of explore where she's at with this situation. I feel like since the aftermath of episode one, we've seen a Carrie that's kind of like strolled through her situation. She's kind of been going through her days as to, okay, well, then let me take whatever's coming to me. It wasn't until the last episode that the conversation of Carrie is in a state of loss kind of came back, because since the funeral, we have not seen Carrie as a mourning, grieving widow. And we've seen her react to losing her husband. We just have not seen her in this state of mourn. And I feel like these last two episodes gave us that. And she did it so beautifully to where, yes, you are right. I feel like those decisions were made, even though irrationally, I feel like it was sort of like a reaction, like, oh my God, I put on this ring and this is how I feel now. Oh my God, I took off this ring and this is how I feel now. Oh my God, I'm going to have a date and this is how I feel now. And I think she's now letting herself kind of go through the motions of what this process is of mourning. And maybe this is where they wanted to take us to the finale. They didn't necessarily do a great job in the last few episodes of connecting the story, but I feel like maybe they just packed it up in the last two episodes to where we get ready for it in the finale. And as far as the Steve collective of a story, I would not have minded, Candace, if this entire season's the core story of it would have been the Miranda Steve storyline, because if they would have had us go through the loss of John in episode one and gone through the mourn on episode two, if episode three would have introduced this storyline in a more of an authentic way, in a generic feel, to where we would have said, oh my God, this is bigger than what we're seeing, I feel like we would have been able to follow it and kind of landed in a place to where now, one episode before the finale, we would have said, oh my God, there's a decision about to be made. What's that decision? But I feel like because they waited so long to kind of stitch that together and make it such an important concept in the story, I feel like now we're more in a space to, I just want to see what happens to Miranda and Steve. I just want to see how it all closes out. So I am with you on there. It's so embracing and so beautiful to see it. But also there's questions as to, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I have big questions. I have big questions. And to be honest, I don't want to close this out with Miranda and Shay, but if they do close this out with Miranda and Shay, they better give us a season two.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been saying so many times, I know this is such a controversial statement, but I do not mind it if this entire season is just a graduation for the production to be carried by new characters, which now I'm more moved away from it because I feel like they did distance Lisa Todd Wexley, Dr. Nia Wallace, and Seema Patel. I think they've completely removed them from the last episode. And then in this episode, they did very much have supporting roles. So I don't feel like that's what they're going to do. But like I've said since day one, I'm very much okay if that's where they're going towards this. If they're bringing these new characters to hand the torch over, I will be absolutely fine. And just let the girls be supporting characters to these main storylines, which we would like to hear more about. We would like to see them. So I love your take on this. I cannot wait to see what happens after. But in the conversation of loss, Candace, there's a loss that we might have been breezing over. And someone who's been handling loss a little bit different than Steve and Carrie is Mr. Anthony.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. First of all, rest in peace to Willie Garson. He's forever going to be in our hearts.
Yes.
I love him. You know, and to his family, because he did leave behind the son. And yes. I can't even imagine how that feels. But the writers did not do him justice. First of all, you guys got Stammy out in Tokyo. Now, it's not uncommon for him to manage somebody into the death, because I'm literally, if you go to my living room right now, I am for the 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, where he is managing Derek's career. And so we know how obsessive Stammy could be, but you guys did not do him justice. The way they wrote him out, I'm like, wait a minute. Are we not going to talk about Stanford? Are we not going to talk about what Anthony's going through with this divorce? Like, they don't even ask him how he's doing. They don't ask him how he's feeling. And I am going to say, I do think this is a defense mechanism, right? This, hey, do you want to blow me in the bathroom? Like, I do think he's hurting. But also, would we ever really know? Because there's no story to this. There's none. And I'm like, don't write Willie Garson out like that. Like, they could have found interesting ways to play this out into a divorce, because it was already headed for a divorce, right? They were bickering in the very first episode, right? And even, hello, let's take it back to the second movie when they got married and Anthony was always allowed to cheat.
Yeah.
Right then and there, when he was allowed to cheat, we knew that there was a little bit of settling between these two characters. Remember, they even hated each other for forever.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that it was some ups and downs. They never kept that a secret. So why not give us a little more backstory? Poor Anthony. Anthony's dealing with a death. He's dealing with a loss that we don't really get to see.
Yeah, I'm with you. I disagree with the maybe what this act of his is, but I'm with you in the fact that, yeah, it's entirely different. And I feel like we deserved more when it came to the Stanford Anthony story. I feel like we needed, I have an understanding of production. I work in production every day. I understand that Willie Garson, the actor, may he rest in peace, is gone. There's no way of going back to incorporate him into whatever it is produced afterwards. But I demand someone give me some sort of closure, because when it comes to the shows, when it comes to productions, when you lose an actor, you don't want to lose the core of that actor's character. You want to enhance that storyline. You want to feed into it and you want to give it more. And I feel like they saw his loss as more of a loss to the production, when they could have seen his loss as an opportunity to honor the character, to honor the actor. And honestly, they have dropped the ball. I feel like they did not do the actor justice. They did not do the character justice. There was so much that could have been done, and Anthony was the way to do it. Carrie was the way to do it. For Carrie, his best friend, to not be a person, to have reacted in the way that she did, to just admit loss. I am sorry, but I don't think I don't think the Stanford Carrie relationship would have just admitted loss to such a strong friendship and moved on. So I do have a problem with the way they embraced it.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
That's you said something right there that really makes me think, because in real life, Sarah Jessica and Willie Garson have been friends for decades. Like, they've in real life been best friends. In fact, they both auditioned for this show together, and they both said, if we don't get, like, Willie told Sarah, Sarah told Willie, if only one of us makes the Sex and the City show, don't worry, because we'll always hang around on set. And it just so happened. It was beautiful. You know, this is all I do. All I do is research shit, overthink, all of that. So, you know, they both ended up making the show, which is why their chemistry was so great. She had a very hard time with his passing. She really did, as she should. And so it's like, let's also not forget that they're best friends on the show. We meet him season one, episode one. We can never take that away. So my thing is, why isn't she talking more about this? How come writing couldn't say, listen, you know, Stanny is in contact with Carrie. Maybe one day Carrie brings up, well, you know, the same thing they did for Samantha. Same thing they did. And let me tell you, Kim Cattrall did not care if she was mentioned or anything like that. If she could like torch to the shit, she probably would. But you still found a way to bring her and make her relevant. You could have did the same thing for Stanny. It could have been where Stanny and Anthony are walking. Listen, I got the only fan fiction right now. I got the only fan fiction. They could have been walking to that forsaken facelift place, right? Hey, so I've just been having a hard time. Oh, yeah, how's it going? Well, I just keep thinking about Stanford. Also, he hasn't spoken to you? No, he really hasn't. And, you know, I get it. We had issues. And then here she goes, Carrie, stumbling because she doesn't know if she should say less or say more or say nothing, right? And so then she admits that she's spoken to Stanford and Stanford is fine. And, you know, it's going to take an adjustment time, but maybe that they can speak. And maybe, you know, there's going to be back and forth and banter.
Oh my God. You know what? That would have made a lot more sense than what they're doing. But I actually would have never thought to have seen this departure and put it in regards to any other departure. Because when you say something like what they did for Samantha versus what they did for Stanford, yes, it does make a lot of sense. It's just, I wish that the production team, I wish the cast, I wish the story would have given it more credit, would have given, and not just Willie Garson, but as well as Stanford, given more credit to how essential they were to this story. Absolutely. So,
and seeing a little more backstory.
Seeing Anthony kind of just not embrace the fact that he just lost his life partner. Is like, so where do you stand now? Like, you just, where's the divorce? Give us at least the process of divorce and incorporate the conversation of Stanford is no longer there in between that. That was a beautiful take. I really did like enjoying your take on this whole departure, Candace. But I have a topic that I want to break down. And just like we do in every after show, we ended up with a big, big bang. And I have a lot of questions because this is not my section of knowledge. Uh-oh. I am not a subject matter expert on this. But seeing this episode and watching Lily and Charlotte interact in the conversation of periods and tampons was so maybe distant to me, and I want to know so much more. So Candace, I saw what I saw and I cannot unsee it. When it comes to a girl of Lily's age going through the process of getting her period, does this conversation go the way that it went with her and Charlotte? Also, I want to know how it really does go.
Okay, so I do have an interesting story. Oh my God. To all my saints listening, please don't kill me. Remember that Jesus forgives. And whatever you heard here, just let it go, let it pass. However, so I was raised with my dad, right?
Yes.
I didn't have, like, my mom was never in the picture. My great-grandma, she was wonderful, but she was already pushing 90 when I got my period, literally. So my dad had zero clue. I mean, zero clue. He pulled my arm. They gave me pads, which I hate, right? I am teen tampon all the way. However, dad could really say, hey, this is how you put in a tampon. And I was young, you know, I think I was like 11. Nobody was really there to say, hey, this is how you can put a tampon. And then my two best friends at the time, both of them had lied about getting their period. Heather definitely lied about getting her period. And so and I hope that they hear this, okay? Because they were of absolute no help. And so it just so happened, you know, first of all, let me tell you something about tampons. And, you know, being a virgin, that's just number one. It is so hard to put in a tampon when you are a virgin. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. Like I said, my saints listening in, you heard what you heard, whatever.
Well,
so
can okay, wait, parenthesis on that, because yes, I heard this before, and that was my main question when Lily came over to Charlotte to ask about, well, she just got her period, and it seems like this is not her first period, it seems like she got it before, but when Charlotte recommended using a tampon, I was a little confused. I was raised to think that tampons were not meant to be used by virgin girls or like by younger girls, and I was a little confused.
So a girl who, okay, yes, the reason why is because I'm gonna give you a little female analogy, but every woman, right, they have a little hymen there, right?
Yes.
And that's, you know, you have that when you're a virgin, obviously, if you break it, whatever. Yeah. But there's other ways to break your hymen without having sex.
Okay.
And one of the ways you can break it, and it's painful, is if you insert a tampon, which is why they don't recommend girls who are virgins to wear tampons, because you can bust your hymen, and that's very painful, right? And so, but that doesn't mean you can't. I have another great best friend who she was able to do it because your hymen does stretch. So she was a virgin, but she was able to use a tampon. And you want to know something? You know, I hate her. I always hated her for that because, honestly, I hated her for that because the only thing that I ever give my ex credit for to this day, the only thing he gets credit for is for me inserting a tampon. And I said what I said, and I've told him this plenty of times. You only get credit for helping me put a tampon up there, and that's that. You guys can figure out the rest. So I think that Lily, I think that what these shows try to do is like, hey, we're women, and you know, women also use tampons and you can use it, but in reality, you don't want to use it if you're not a virgin. That's just my take. Because
okay.
of that.
I think Lily is a virgin.
Lily is a virgin. I've seen it in shows more and more again that they give like these young girls getting their periods, here, use a tampon. In real life, that would never happen. You wear a pad until you can, right? Like you wear a pad until you can either tampon without busting your hymen or until you bust your hymen.
Well, that's why I was so confused, because I remember hearing so much of, well, people with vaginas who have not lost their virginity are supposed to use pads, while people with vaginas who have lost their virginity are able to use tampons because their hymen has been perforated. Yeah. or whatever.
Perforated, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, wait, is her mom suggesting that she use the tampon when she's not supposed to? But yeah, I was just confused. I have very
too.
Little experience with tampons. And my actual only experience with a tampon, oh Lord, forgive me. I was at a club with my friend Zadia.
No.
We were underage, and my friend had mentioned at the club while we were drinking, she said that it had been 2 days since she saw her tampon. Mind you, as a gay teenager, I was not familiar with any of that bullshit. I didn't know what the fuck that was. But she was telling me, she was very emotional in the bathroom. And I just went into the girl's bathroom and I said, what the fuck is going on with you tonight? And I remember her saying, well, I can't find my tampon. And it's been there since, I remember it was Saturday, and it had been there since Thursday night.
No.
And I said, well, where do you put that? And she was like, you put it up your vagina. And I was like, and it's still in there? Like, my questions were like, is it still in there? Like, how do you just lose something in there? And I swear to you, my mind had the horror. If I wasn't traumatized by vaginas at the point, I think I'm more traumatized than now. But I remember very, very, very distinctively having her take her pants down and me helping her pull out her her crusty, nasty ass, smelly tampon during the time. And it just traumatized me even more. As if I wasn't gay enough at the time, I became 10 times gayer at that point. I said I am never touching one of those ever again in my life. And I'm talking about the vagina, not the tampon.
Jay, I love this. If you could, you know, it's such a shame that you cannot see my face right now. I was born to be on this podcast with you to hear this story. This is why God put me on this planet. If that was not the funniest thing ever. I mean, I kind of had a similar, no, it wasn't really that similar. It wasn't that similar. But yes, no, that is the most funniest thing ever. Because in reality, you really can lose a tampon up there. That happens all the time.
I mean, I never thought it possible. I didn't think
no,
it was
because
possible.
You don't feel it. Listen, Charlotte was right when she said, if you feel the tampon, you're doing it wrong. Listen, I'm the tampon queen. I'm the tampon queen. You need a tampon, you come to my house. I have all sizes. Sizes I will never wear. TMI. Sizes I will never, ever, ever wear. I have everything in my house. When I tell my friends, listen, they're like, we don't wear tampons because it hurts. You didn't do it right. If you feel the tampon, you didn't do it right. And that's why you lose the tampon. You lose the tampon because you don't feel it. And Charlotte was also right. And this is, oh my God, so disgusting. Oh my God, I hope our international listeners have such a fun
episode. Oh, they're
going to
love this. They're going to love this.
I hope, oh my God, because she did not lie when she said, you can lose the string in your butt crack. If that was not one of the truest statements in the world. I cannot tell you how many times I'm like, holy moly, I'm going to have to run to my GYN because I cannot find the string. The string literally found a way to detach itself and now it's forever stuck there and I'm just going to hemorrhage and die. Literally once a month, that's my thought. Literally.
Oh,
at least one
my
time.
God.
And
call
I cannot find it.
Call me ignorant to the genetics of a vagina, but I am even more confused than I was before. And I will appreciate that confusion. Candace, I think we have done it. Oh my God. Thank you all so much for listening in to our after show. This has been such an amazing recap. I definitely did enjoy talking about this episode more than I enjoyed watching it. But this was really, really good to do. And also, I will apologize personally for our last episode being late. It will be released tonight at midnight. That will be Thursday night, Friday midnight. So you will catch the episode tomorrow. Please tune in. It will be a great episode. I definitely enjoyed it recording it with Candace. And our after show for the finale will be on the day of the finale where we will have very, very big announcement for you all that I know you all will love. I know it will get you all excited.
What big announcement?
Hey, you're just going to have to wait, girl. But thank you all for listening.
Thank
we love
you
all.
We appreciate
and
you.
We will catch you on the next time.